Unit 7. Justice after a crime.
罪行之后的审判。
Better safe than sorry.
防范胜于追悔。
New word.
Recover.
2. Listen to a victim reporting a robbery to the police. Then circle the appropriate letters A to D to answer the questions. Officer, I'd like to report a robbery.
Okay. Can you tell me exactly what happened?
Well, I was walking home from work 2 days ago, enjoying the scenery all around me, the birds, the frogs, the flowing stream, when a woman knocked me down, grabbed my stuff, and ran off through the trees. I was so surprised by the ordeal that I didn't go after her.
Can you describe the woman for me?
Okay, he was about 190 centimeters tall.
Wait, you just said a woman robbed you.
Well, I'm not really sure.You see, the person was wearing a white and black polka dot dress, a light red sweater over it, and she, or he, was wearing a pair of basketball shoes.
What else can you tell me?
The person was heavy set, with long wavy hair. She, or he, was probably in his or her late 30s. I didn't get a good look at the person's face, but, well,
What? Was there anything else?
Well, the person had a beard.
Ah, what was, taken exactly?
Well, just my left shoe. Bizarre, isn't it?
Ah, the bearded woman has struck again.
The bearded woman?
Yeah, it's this man who dresses up like a woman and for some unknown reasons removes the left shoe from his victims. He's really quite harmless, though, and he usually returns the shoe to the crime scene a couple of days later.
Hey, he can keep my shoe, and I'll just take off my left shoe every time I walk through the park. Officer, I'd like to report a robbery.
Okay. Can you tell me exactly what happened?
Well, I was walking home from work 2 days ago, enjoying the scenery all around me, the birds, the frogs, the flowing stream, when a woman knocked me down, grabbed my stuff,and ran off through the trees. I was so surprised by the ordeal that I didn't go after her.
Can you describe the woman for me?
Okay, he was about 190 centimeters tall.
Wait, you just said a woman robbed you.
Well, I'm not really sure. You see, the person was wearing a white and black polka dot dress, a light red sweater over it, and she, or he, was wearing a pair of basketball shoes.
What else can you tell me?
The person was heavy set, with long wavy hair. She, or he, was probably in his or her late 30s. I didn't get a good look at the person's face, but, well,
What? Was there anything else?
Well, the person had a beard.
Ah, what was, taken exactly?
Well, just my left shoe. Bizarre, isn't it?
Ah, the bearded woman has struck again.
The bearded woman?
Yeah, it's this man who dresses up like a woman and for some unknown reasons removes the left shoe from his victims. He's really quite harmless, though, and he usually returns the shoe to the crime scene a couple of days later.
Hey, he can keep my shoe, and I'll just take off my left shoe every time I walk through the park.
New words.
Striped.
Leather.
Ordeal.
Heavy set.
Bizarre.
3. Listen to a lecture on community safety and fill in the blanks.
Although most Australian cities are pretty safe compared with their counterparts in other parts of the world, it is still important to be aware of the safety precautions. If you are used to a less urbanized lifestyle, there may be some things that are taken for granted here and that might never have occurred to you. For example, locking up.An essential part of daily life. If you live in a hall of residence, this will not be such a problem. You have only to ensure that your room is locked when you leave and that you have the key on you. If, however, you share a house or flat, then it's essential to check all the doors and windows before you go out during the day. Statistics show that most burglaries happen during daylight hours, when the occupiers are out.Even if you think your house or flat is securely bolted or unbarred, don't leave a lot of money inside. The safest place for your cash is the bank. Take out only enough for your immediate needs, and in that way you will avoid disaster. Furthermore, don't flourish large wads of notes in public to impress your friends. Not everyone watching may be a friend, and while we are on the subject, keep valuables, passport, jewelry under lock and key. Better to be safe than sorry. During the day, at school or college, never leave your handbag or wallet unattended, on a desk or in the library or classroom, say. Most institutions will warn you about this, and although you may think your fellow students are very honest people, there are always individuals you don't know about in public places who may not be able to resist temptation. Likewise, always lock your car or bicycle and never leave any valuables where they can be seen by passers-by. Although most Australian cities are pretty safe compared with their counterparts in other parts of the world, it is still important to be aware of the safety precautions. If you are used to a less urbanized lifestyle, there may be some things that are taken for granted here and that might never have occurred to you. For example, locking up, an essential part of daily life. If you live in a hall of residence, this will not be such a problem. You have only to ensure that your room is locked when you leave and that you have the key on you. If, however, you share a house or flat, then it's essential to check all the doors and windows before you go out during the day. Statistics show that most burglaries happen during daylight hours, when the occupiers are out. Even if you think your house or flat is securely bolted or unbarred, don't leave a lot of money inside. The safest place for your cash is the bank. Take out only enough for your immediate needs, and in that way you will avoid disaster. Furthermore, don't flourish large wads of notes in public to impress your friends. Not everyone watching may be a friend, and while we are on the subject, keep valuables, passport, jewelry under lock and key. Better to be safe than sorry. During the day, at school or college, never leave your handbag or wallet unattended, on a desk or in the library or classroom, say. Most institutions will warn you about this, and although you may think your fellow students are very honest people, there are always individuals you don't know about in public places who may not be able to resist temptation. Likewise, always lock your car or bicycle and never leave any valuables where they can be seen by passers-by.
New words.
Precaution.
Burglary.
Occupier.
Bolt.
Furthermore.
Wad.
Unattended.
Temptation.
Passerby.
Proper noun.
Hall of residence. 4. Read the passage about a fugitive, then answer the questions.
The fugitive. Having murdered his brother-in-law, Orrin Brower of Kentucky was a fugitive from justice. From the county jail where he had been confined to await his trial, he had escaped by knocking down his jailer with an iron bar, robbing him of his keys, and opening the outer door, walking out into the night. The jailer being unarmed, Brower got no weapon with which to defend his recovered liberty. As soon as he was out of the town, he had the folly to enter a forest. This was many years ago, when that region was wilder than it is now. The night was pretty dark, with neither moon nor stars visible. And as Brower had never dwelt thereabouts and knew nothing of the lay of the land, he was, naturally, not long in losing himself. He could not have said if he were getting farther away from the town or going back to it, the most important matter to Orrin Brower. He knew that in either case a posse of citizens with a pack of bloodhounds would soon be on his track, and his chance of escape was very slender. But he did not wish to assist in his own pursuit. Even an added hour of freedom was worth having. Suddenly, he emerged from the forest into an old road, and there before him saw, indistinctly, the figure of a man, motionless in the gloom. It was too late to retreat. The fugitive felt that, at the first movement back toward the wood he would be, as he afterward explained, filled with buckshot. So the two stood there like trees, Brower nearly suffocated by the activity of his own heart. The other, the emotions of the other, were not recorded. A moment later, it may have been an hour, the moon sailed into a patch of unclouded sky, and the hunted man saw that visible embodiment of law lift an arm and point significantly toward and beyond him. He understood. Turning his back to his captor, he walked submissively in the direction indicated, looking at neither the right nor the left, hardly daring to breathe. His head and back actually ached with the prophecy of buckshot. Brower was as courageous a criminal as ever lived to be hanged. That was shown by the accusations of awful personal peril in which he had coolly killed his brother-in-law. It is needless to relay them here. They came out at his trial, and the revelation of his calmness in confronting them came near to saving his neck. But what would you have to say? When a brave man is beaten, he submits. So they pursued their journey, jailward along the old road through the woods. Only once did Brower venture a turn of the head. Just once, when he was in deep shadow and he knew that the other was in moonlight, he looked backward. His captor was Burton Duff, the jailer, as white as death and bearing upon his brow the livid mark of the iron bar. Orrin Brower had no further curiosity. Eventually, they entered the town, which was all alight, but deserted. Only the women and children remained, and they were off the streets. Straight toward the jail, the criminal held his way. Straight up to the main entrance he walked, laid his hand upon the knob of the heavy iron door, pushed it ajar without command, entered and found himself in the presence of a half-dozen armed men. Then he turned. Nobody else entered. On a table in the corridor lay the dead body of Burton Duff.
New words.
Fugitive.
Jail.
Jailer.
Await.
Unarmed.
Liberty.
Folly.
Dwell.
Thereabouts.
Posse.
Bloodhound.
Slender.
Pursuit.
Motionless.
Buckshot.
Suffocate.
Sail.
Embodiment.
Significantly.
Captor.
Submissively.
Prophecy.
Criminal.
Accusation.
Peril.
Coolly.
Relate.
Revelation.
Venture.
Livid.
Ajar.
Proper nouns.
Orrin Brower.
Burton Duff. The Mills of God.
天网恢恢. 2. Listen to a passage about the English policeman. Complete the summary below by writing no more than 3 words in each blank.
The English policeman has several nicknames, but the most frequently used are Copper and Bobby. The first name comes from the verb cop, which is also slang, meaning to take or to capture. And the second comes from the first name of Sir Robert Peel, the 19th century politician, who was the founder of the police force as we know it today. An early nickname for the policeman was Peeler, but this one has died out. Whatever we may call them, the general opinion of the police seems to be a favourable one, except, of course, among the criminal part of the community, where the police are given more derogatory nicknames which originated in America, such as fuzz or pig. Visitors to England seem nearly always to be very impressed with the English police. It has, in fact, become a standing joke that the visitor to Britain, when asked for his views of the country, will always say at some point or other, "I think your policemen are wonderful." Well, the English Bobby may not always be wonderful, but he is usually a very friendly and helpful sort of character. A music hall song of some years ago was called, "If You Want to Know the Time, Ask the Policeman." Nowadays, most people own watches, but they seem to find plenty of other questions to ask the policeman. In London, the policemen spend so much of their time directing visitors about the city that one wonders how they ever find time to do something else. The English policeman has several nicknames, but the most frequently used are Copper and Bobby. The first name comes from the verb cop, which is also slang, meaning to take or to capture. And the second comes from the first name of Sir Robert Peel, the 19th century politician, who was the founder of the police force as we know it today. An early nickname for the policeman was Peeler, but this one has died out. Whatever we may call them, the general opinion of the police seems to be a favourable one, except, of course, among the criminal part of the community, where the police are given more derogatory nicknames which originated in America, such as fuzz or pig. Visitors to England seem nearly always to be very impressed with the English police. It has, in fact, become a standing joke that the visitor to Britain, when asked for his views of the country, will always say at some point or other, "I think your policemen are wonderful." Well, the English Bobby may not always be wonderful, but he is usually a very friendly and helpful sort of character. A music hall song of some years ago was called, "If You Want to Know the Time, Ask the Policeman." Nowadays, most people own watches, but they seem to find plenty of other questions to ask the policeman. In London, the policemen spend so much of their time directing visitors about the city that one wonders how they ever find time to do something else.
New words.
Nickname.
Copper.
Bobby.
Slang.
Capture.
Peeler.
Derogatory.
Originate.
Fuzz.
Direct.
Proper noun.
Sir Robert Peel.
3. Listen to a dialogue on criminal law Q&A. Then fill in the blanks.
Criminal law Q&A.
Who sets a sentence and how is it determined?
Typically, judges impose the sentence to be served by an individual who has pleaded guilty or has been convicted by a jury of a crime. Sentences must be within the guidelines set by laws for a particular crime, which may include a fine, jail, or prison time, or probation. The law that defines a crime may also define the maximum punishment that may be imposed by the judge, or related statutes may contain the consequences.
What factors will the judge consider when setting the punishment?
The defendant's past criminal record, age, whether anyone was hurt or injured, victim's impact statements, the circumstances surrounding the crime, possibly the remorse shown by the defendant. Some state and all federal criminal statutes include mandatory sentences, which require judges to impose specific and identical sentences on all defendants who violate those laws.
What's the point of a suspended sentence?
A suspended sentence is one that's imposed but not carried out. If you stay out of trouble, you don't have to serve the sentence. Judges often give first-time offenders suspended sentences as an incentive for keeping out of trouble. It also frees up scarce jail space for more serious offenders from whom society needs to be protected. At the end of the suspension period, the judge lifts the sentence if you haven't got into trouble. But if you reoffend during your suspension period, you are off to jail for the length of your sentence. Criminal law Q&A.
Who sets a sentence and how is it determined?
Typically, judges impose the sentence to be served by an individual who has pleaded guilty or has been convicted by a jury of a crime. Sentences must be within the guidelines set by laws for a particular crime, which may include a fine, jail, or prison time, or probation. The law that defines a crime may also define the maximum punishment that may be imposed by the judge, or related statutes may contain the consequences.
What factors will the judge consider when setting the punishment?
The defendant's past criminal record, age, whether anyone was hurt or injured, victim's impact statements, the circumstances surrounding the crime, possibly the remorse shown by the defendant. Some state and all federal criminal statutes include mandatory sentences, which require judges to impose specific and identical sentences on all defendants who violate those laws.
What's the point of a suspended sentence?
A suspended sentence is one that's imposed but not carried out. If you stay out of trouble, you don't have to serve the sentence. Judges often give first-time offenders suspended sentences as an incentive for keeping out of trouble. It also frees up scarce jail space for more serious offenders from whom society needs to be protected. At the end of the suspension period, the judge lifts the sentence if you haven't got into trouble. But if you reoffend during your suspension period, you are off to jail for the length of your sentence.
New words.
Convict, convict.
Jury.
Probation.
Defendant.
Remorse.
Mandatory.
Scarce. 4. Read the passage, then decide whether the following statements are true, false, or not given.
The drive-through bandit. For the last decade, there's been a criminal on the loose in Southern California, committing a crime that seems to amaze even the victims themselves. In fact, most people want to be his victims. Sounds ridiculous, but it's true. A mysterious bandit strikes an unsuspecting McDonald's. Not one of his victims has reported the incident to the police. He has victimized people at any time of day he chooses and drives like James Bond to get away. He's so bold that he commits these crimes right in full view of a crowd of people and disregards any security cameras with a smile. He's been dubbed the drive-through bandit because he strikes while his victim is stuck in the drive-through at various fast food restaurants. He doesn't seem to favor one restaurant over another, leaving no pattern and making it virtually impossible to catch him. Maybe you've been his victim? He drives through the fast food restaurant of his choice and orders food just like anyone else. He pays for his food and then he strikes. He pays for the order of the person in the car behind him. Occasionally, he takes the time to leave his calling card and the victim's receipt with "Compliments of the Drive-Through Bandit" written on it. When I interviewed several of the victims, I got similar responses. All of them, though, wanted to remain anonymous. One lady that was victimized at a McDonald's drive-thru said, "I couldn't believe my order was already paid for when I got to the cashier. It was a blessing for me." Another who fell prey to the drive-thru bandit at a Wendy's had this to say, "I don't know why he did it. I have plenty of money. But I think I'm going to start being a drive-thru bandit too. It gave me such a nice feeling for a stranger to do something like this for no apparent reason." Yet another crime was committed at the Sunshine fast food restaurant where he struck a family of four, saving them over $30. The father commented, "I wish there were more just like him." If he continues to victimize random people at drive-through restaurants, we may begin to see a rise in crimes like this across the country. Once the news spreads of how easily the crime is committed and that victims are loyally protecting their assailant, more and more drive-through bandit copycats may arise. In writing this article, I also wanted to experience being the welcome drive-through criminal. I must say, it was a lot of fun. I didn't mind the cape and mask, but my sword kept getting caught in my seatbelt.
New words.
Drive-through.
Bandit.
Decade.
Commit.
Amaze.
Ridiculous.
Unsuspecting.
Victimize.
Bold.
Disregard.
Dub.
Anonymous.
Blessing.
Loyally.
Assailant.
Copycat.
Arise.
Cape.
Proper noun.
James Bond.
New words.
Victimization.
Criminology.